Okay, good to see everybody. Tonight we're going to talk about the five steps of destruction. And that comes from Jeremiah 6, verse 10 through 16, which we will read in just a moment. See, the preacher says there's nothing new under the sun, Ecclesiastes 1:9. And that which has been will be, and that which has been done, there is nothing new under the sun. So reason suggests that what we're going through in our day and time and age has already taken place. And it has. Now, we have not experienced the times that we're going under. We have not experienced this, and it's unfolding before our eyes, and it's very concerning what we're seeing in our world today, in the land that we live in. And so we know that the preacher was right. All right. Jeremiah had been called at a very critical time in the history of Israel and Judah. Actually, the northern kingdom Israel had already been carried away, and Isaiah, who prophesied 700 years before Christ, had warned Israel repeatedly of her sins, yet she would not hear or take heed. Now, we see the destruction that comes because of that. Now, in the times of Jeremiah, were very much like our times. It was a period of wealth and prosperity, yet lacking in and poor in spirituality and godliness. And we can all readily agree that's a problem in our nation today. In Jeremiah, we find a picture of our hellish society as we follow the five steps of destruction outlined by this prophet. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 6, beginning verse 10. All right. To whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Behold, their ears are closed, and they cannot listen. Behold, the word of the Lord has become a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. But I am full of the wrath of the Lord. I am weary with holding it in. Pour it out on the children in the street, and on the gathering of the young men together. Both husband and wife shall be taken, the aged and the very old. And their houses shall be turned over to others, their fields and their wives together. For I will stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land, declares the Lord. For from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy. Greedy for gain, and from the prophets even to the priests, everyone deals falsely. And they have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. Were they ashamed because of the abomination they have done? They were not even ashamed at all. They did not even know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall at the time that I punish them. They shall be cast down, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. And I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. All right, so God's telling them point blank what the problem is. And we could literally use the same language trying to tell people in this country what they're doing. They're turning their back on God. So this is a picture that we see. So the word of the Lord was a reproach to them. They hated the Bible. They didn't want to hear from the Bible. So what did they do? They filed lawsuits and they filed things. They got the Bible out of schools. They got the Bible out of the courtrooms. They got the Bible out of society and out of government. They got the Bible out of any place they could think of. And the only place they haven't gotten rid of the Bible are in the churches and the private homes. Many churches don't even respect the Bible, so they leave those people alone. And so, Later on in chapter 8, verse 9, we see that the wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? So, yes, people reject the word of the Lord. When they choose not to obey it, they are rejecting it. And when they choose not to live according to its precepts, they are rejecting the word of God. And so he described in Jeremiah 7:28, they were a people who obeyed not the voice of the Lord, nor received correction. And yes, there's plenty in the scriptures talking about that. They didn't like someone telling them, well, that is wrong. And so this concept of right and wrong is what everybody thinks it is. And they're right and wrong in their own minds. You know, back in Judges, he said there was no king in the land that at that time, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And we see that unfolding today. People are just turned their back on government. They turn their back on God's laws, and they're just doing what they're doing. And yes, it's the mob mentality taking over. And so, Jeremiah 7:24, it's no wonder they went backward and not forward. We're supposed to press on. We're supposed to move forward. But these people were going backward. They were going back to what they should not have been doing. And so it reminds you of Lot's wife who turned a pillar of salt because she looked back. And of course, as we mentioned this morning, Demas has forsaken me because he loved this present world. He turned his back on the apostle and the teaching of the gospel and went back to the world. And everyone was given over to covetousness. You know, in verse 13. See, Isaiah would describe the people as greedy dogs which can never have enough. Isaiah 56 and 11. And when you think the way of the world thinks now, that's pretty much describes it to a T. People are not satisfied with what money they do have. They've got to have more. And it doesn't matter how they get it. If they can steal it, they'll do it. If they can get it through terrible means, they're going to do that too. And so, we must also realize that covetousness is idolatry. And we must beware of it. Colossians 3:5, that's what he calls it. Covetousness, which is idolatry. And Luke 12:15 talks about the covetousness. And basically, when you covet something, you basically worship it. And therefore, that's why we have the passage from 1 Timothy 6 about the greedy. I mean, we have to be very careful not to use money to satisfy our lust. So salvation cannot be purchased with silver or gold. We realize that in several places. Zephaniah 1:8 talks about that very phrase. And nor is Jehovah impressed with treasures we accumulate here on earth. And we do that. But he doesn't care about that. You know, Solomon amassed a huge treasure, but he didn't serve God. So God was not impressed with the wealth that someone might have. God doesn't care if you're a millionaire or a billionaire. He doesn't care about that. What he wants to know, are you of a contrite spirit to worship him in spirit and truth? That's all God desires out of us. And so he's not impressed with wealth because, once again, taking what David said when he spoke to the people of Israel in his last address, God owns everything. God has everything. He has all the wealth in all the world. It all belongs to him anyway. So, we know we must lay up treasures in heaven as we walk contentedly here. Matthew 6, 19 through 24, Hebrews 13, 5, learning to be content with what we have. And they said, peace, peace, when there is no peace. You know, people today, they see all the stuff going on. They see the rioting. They see the looting. They see the wickedness that's out there. Everything's fine. You don't have to worry about a thing. I mean, who's saying these words? People who want the destruction. That's why they consider it's fine. People who want to destroy this country. You know, 40, 50 years ago, I mean, a fellow by the name of Khrushchev stood up in the UN and told the United States, we are going to destroy you without firing a shot. And here's why we're going to do it. So they laid out their communistic platform, and people, enough people have followed it to the letter. I mean, we're reaping the results of that right now. And people have just basically been blindly going along, thinking everything's fine, nothing's wrong. Then all of a sudden, what's going on around here? Why is this happening? See, they were a people who did not recognize the problems that surrounded them. And a lot of times we don't. Many today fail to recognize the problems the church faces. And of course, the Bible speaks of false teachers in every time frame. There's always people going to be saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Go ahead and do your sin. God's not going to care about it. And that's what they're trying to tell us. And so those people, the world kind of just leaves alone because they're thinking like the world. It's those who stand up and preach the word of God that are usually derided and made fun of and hopefully shamed by these people. That's what they want. In fact, Peter said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And Jesus described these people as like the blind leading the blind. They're both going to fall in the pit. When false teachers come in and preach to the people because that's what the people want, then guess what? God's not going to sit back and show his approval for people who are doing what they want to do. He's only going to show approval to those that fear him and keep his commandments. That's what Peter told Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. The one who fears God and does his commandments is accepted of him. And though we might say we live in a land of prosperity, a time of blessing, we must also realize that we must beware, because it can be taken away from us. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to destroy everything that this country stands for. And for many years, this country stood for biblical principles and respected biblical law. Now they're trying to get rid of that too. So they're just going to tell you, don't worry, be happy. I mean, how can we be happy? That's what I want to know. How can a Christian be happy in such a godless world? It's not easy. We just have to learn to do the best we can with what we have. And it says they could not blush. In verse 15. See, Zephaniah said, the unjust knoweth no shame. They don't know shame. There's nothing that embarrasses them. They're unjust. That's what happens in San Francisco when they have their parade. And you know how many times they have a parade every year? They have quite a few, it seems like. And they get out there, they strip down, and some of them walk around with no clothes on. Some of them get involved in their horrible things they do out in public. And then people have no problem taking their whole family out there and walking around with the balloons and everything else saying, we support this. And the children are looking and watching, man, that looks like my dog. And I mean, we're desensitizing the kids that way. But the unjust knoweth no shame. See, the fine art of blushing is being lost. Very few people blush anymore. And immodesty is becoming the sign of the times, and there seems to be no shame. Just go around and look and just drive around and see what people are wearing, or maybe we should say, see what they're not wearing. I mean, it gets pretty bad. So wild, rebellious children and sin going unopposed should be ashamed to any people. And yet, it is the order of the day for many. In Proverbs, the writer says, sin is a reproach upon any people. And so that's true. And so what we need to do is get back to the purity of God's standard. Now, how are we going to do that? Well, right now it seems like there's this great big train that's out of control. And how are you going to stop that? well, we'll shoot a BB in that direction and maybe that'll slow it down. Yeah, we know better than that. It's getting bad. So what we have to do is concentrate upon ourselves and work one soul at a time, trying to help people see the truth of God's word and why it's necessary to obey God's word, because there's a horrible thing that train track is leading towards. And then in verse 16, they refuse to walk in the old paths. So there are those who are clamoring for change and for that which is new. Some of them do it because, well, the old way is unjust, it's not fair, hasn't been right, so let's just tear it all down. That's what they want to do. And we must realize the Bible says now what it said all the way back in the beginning. See, in the area of New Testament Christianity, we must realize that the church and the message are more than 1,900 years old. They're almost 2,000 years old. Another 10 or 12 years, it will be 2,000 years old. And yet, the message of salvation, the message of the cross, the message of God's word to mankind is being rejected, being turned away. People don't want to do it. But if we want to be right in the sight of God, we have to seek the old paths where the good way is. And then we'll have rest for our souls. So you see, nothing really changes. It really doesn't. And what's going on today just mirrors what was going on 2,700 years ago, 2,600 years ago. And so we can learn great lessons from the Old Testament if we will. That's what Paul said, Romans 15:4, the things written for our beforehand were written for our instruction so that we can learn with patience. And so we should do that. So we need to keep these things in mind as we study our Bible much, much more. And hopefully we will avoid the steps that lead to destruction. But yet we also have to know it begins with me. I've got to be involved in this. I've got to make sure that I'm not going to be like those people. I am going to do what God wants me to do and make sure I stick with it. So that's what we're supposed to do. The steps of destruction are universal. It's been that way. If you go through and read the history of all nations that have risen and fallen, you'll basically find the same formula in every one of them. They always follow that formula. They turn their back on God, and then basically it's anything goes until the nation collapses. So it's not a pretty picture. It's not something to think about for our country, because let's face it, we love our country. We enjoy the freedoms that we have. And perhaps maybe we've had so much freedom, we've taken it for granted, and we have forgotten that this freedom came from God. So that's why that's the condition of many people in this world today. Let us never forget the freedoms that we have, and let's pray that God will allow us to keep these freedoms and keep the ability to worship Him in spirit and truth without the provocation from those people that hate God. So consider those lessons, a very simple lesson we can look at and know that it's continuing, so there is nothing new under the sun. So we're going to end the lesson here and always offer the invitation. If anyone has a need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.